section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
And welcome to Off the Mark, the only podcast reminding you that you are not untouchable. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. FCW shuts down, but wait, Triple H has something to say about that. What's that, Aaron?
FCW is not shutting down. Oh, wait, now it is shutting down now. No, wait, now. Now it's saying they're not shutting down. So, you know, they don't even know what's going on down there.
It's not a surprise. He says he doesn't know where the rumor started. And he believes that this is a situation where the dirt sheets, in quotes, want to believe that they had the scoop on everything. But the rumor right now is that they may have another developmental up in Stanford, which would actually make more sense than having it down in Florida. But, oh well.
Mm-hmm.
But he's actually, the real reason why this rumor started is because they're actually revamping FCW and their developmental system, which is great. So I'm looking forward to see what they're going to do with that. Triple H says he's wanted to do it for a while now. So, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm happy for this. I've always said I think FCW should be on the air. I think that NXT is what FCW is what NXT should have been, in my opinion.
And it
should be something that they don't necessarily have them wrestle on pay-per-views. You just have them wrestle there, have them have their little storylines. And then basically say that this is the, not indie, but it's the minor leagues, I think is the best way to put
it. It's the AAA. But the real reason why one of the reasons why this rumor started is because they lost their TV deal and everyone thinks, oh, TV deal, they're going to lose. Well, it's not WCW. WCW needed the TV deal.
Yeah. Well, and when you're paying your guys millions of dollars, you know, these guys are making, you know, maybe $500 a week.
That's true. So John Cena was in a car accident. He got rear-ended. The rumor is that The Rock actually tried to do this, and he ran from the scene. Is that correct, Aaron?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, or that's what the WWE wants you to believe. This couldn't have come at a better time for them. It was a fender bender. It was something that the guy tapped the you know, John Cena's car, and of course, the media blows up about this, and Cena's neck may be hurt, and they don't know if he's going to be ready for WrestleMania. No, no, no.
Just adds the drama to it. Just adds the drama. So this is a big one. Billy Gunn might be returning shortly.
Yeah, to the WWE. This is kind of big news here. He apparently patched things up with Triple H. You know, him and Road Dogg definitely took some pot shots at Triple H and Vincent Kennedy McMahon with their Voodoo Ken Mafia, VKM. So, yeah, apparently he actually is going to be returning. I don't know in what capacity. He might do a DX, a best of DX. And as we all know, the New Age Outlaws were a major part of D-Generation X. So it's not something that you can write out of the history books. You know, you can't say it was just Triple H and Shawn. Obviously, these guys were in there, too. It'd be kind of nice to see that. Maybe do a little reunion thing. I doubt that they're going to be in a tag match or something. But it'll be cool to see him back.
Yeah. And the other thing is, there's another rumor, too, that I think it's something. Is it Matt Bloom, a.k.a. A-Train?
Yep,
supposedly yes, so he's supposedly coming back, even though he denies reports that he's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But the tattoos have proved it. It's A-Train.
Yeah.
So he's coming back. Everyone rejoices.
Yeah, so Yokozuna, Andy, was the last person to be added to the Hall of Fame class of 2012. What do you think of this?
I'm upset Macho's not in. Come on.
Ooh, and yeah. I have to say this. You were right. You and I, about 5 episodes ago, maybe 8, I had said that Macho Man is going to get inducted this year because they do stupid stuff like that. They induct somebody right after they die because Macho Man wasn't going to get inducted when he was alive, of course, because they had some issues there. So right after he died, I figure it would be the smartest thing to do. But I guess what they're looking to do is have a big name for next year. Macho Man would be it.
That's true. I'm actually still surprised that Benoit has not been inducted yet. But
do you think Yokozuna deserves it is a good question.
He's one of those guys that deserves it. I think Lex Luger does, too. That's just my opinion. A lot of people say Yokozuna was just there. He was there all the time, but like I just think of him and Bret Hart like that when they were feuding. That was just great. And then I also remember when Lex Luger flew in from the helicopter and body slammed him. And that was like a big deal.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things that I see that it's like a nostalgia thing. It's like Coco Beware. Like he really didn't deserve, but like I feel better that he's in, if that makes sense. So but anyway, so let's move on to Raw. So Jericho and Punk, this thing's getting really dark. He's now talking about Punk's sister.
Mm-hmm. Who I've met, by the way.
Oh, really?
No, just kidding. So Punk and Jericho apologizes for talking about his dad. And then he's like, but your sister, on the other hand, oh, she's a druggie. And then basically just keeps going on and on and on. I actually kind of think that this part of the feud that's a little stale, I think.
Stupid.
And I think what I said before, if I was booking this, Jericho should have a match and be like, that's how you wrestle Punk. I'm the best in the world. And then Punk has a match and does that, you know? So like you do it opposite week. So you do that. That's a 2-week stint. And then you have something else, you know, like Jericho wrestles and then Punk is there and he might interfere or, you know, cause a distraction for Jericho to lose. And so Jericho does that to Punk. You could do something like that. It would get me more excited. This stuff isn't getting me very excited.
Yeah, I'm kind of bored with it already. Who cares? They should have done this years ago. And I'm sorry, but like if I'm like one of CM Punk's friends, I'm laughing right now. I'm laughing at him. I'm like, you let them do this crap? Who cares? You know, because they never really got into, you know, personal with him. And now this is the first thing. I don't know. I don't think this is the first thing you do to bring like a family member in. Oh, you had a drug problem. But anyway, so
yeah.
Zack Ryder and Daniel Bryan had the match of the night, actually. Actually, the match of probably this month. I was impressed with it. I like how he got the boot to the face in the corner. I like that, the LI. The LI boot, I guess, if you want to call it that.
And I got to say, too, out of every move that's done, I mean, that looks like it hurts really bad.
Actually, it doesn't, dude.
It doesn't?
No, because he lifts his forearm up and then he just turns his head at the right moment. If you do not do that, it's going to hurt, though. But if you watch, if you pay attention closely, you'll see it looks vicious. It's more because if they did another camera angle, it's like was it Elix Skipper that did the playmaker? Yeah, the playmaker, where it was basically you put the leg on top of the guy like you're going to give him the Rough Rider, but then you like twist him.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that. It's like that move looked always devastating. And until they had the wrong camera angle where you see, oh, it's just a simple back bump. You know, it's like, oh, you ruined it. This one, if they shot it at a different camera angle, you would see how bad it really is. So
okay, because it looks like it hurts really bad.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to say that the ending, too, was I thought the finish was great.
Yeah, he went for the Rough Rider, and then he countered, put him in the shoulder submission, and then put the low bell lock on him, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With the crossface, and he tapped right away. Yeah, it was a good finish, a very good match. I was impressed. Daniel Bryan and Zack Ryder, I mean, realistically, I'm wondering what type of match they could have if they let him go like 20 minutes. Because it might be really interesting, dude.
Yeah, because Ryder, unfortunately, he has two signature moves, you know, and that's it that I can think of.
The boot and then the rough rider.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see what else he has. I thought that this was good. I think that, like you said, have a 20-minute match and it would be even better.
Oh, yeah. So here's speaking of 20 minutes that was end up being a waste of time. It was the last segment. Triple H, HBK and Taker don't care about this. I mean, I'm bored. I'm seriously bored. Every time they come on, I just don't want to think about it. Because The only thing that happened with this was it looked like two buddies were teaming up on each other, and then when Undertaker basically says, by the way, Shawn was the tougher one, you know, that's it. That's what you got out of it. And yes, it was comical. But the thing is, when are they going to reveal the fact that he doesn't have any hair?
At WrestleMania.
Or are they going to put a wig on him?
They're going to put a wig on him. It's it with a Phantom of the Opera mask.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Or he's going to put a bandana on. He's going to come out on the motorcycle and start saying, rolling, rolling, rolling.
I'm getting a little bored with this, too. I got to say, out of everything that's going on, this is one of the weaker ones, you know, and they're going to build it up like it's the greatest thing ever. This is why they're buying the pay-per-view, is what Paul Levesque says. It's not the truth, though. And in fact, this is a reason why I wouldn't buy the pay-per-view, because I just don't care. I really do not care about this.
Exactly. So let's move on to SmackDown. So Big Show and Cody Rhodes, their feud is getting a little bit more personal. So what's happening here, Aaron?
Yeah, you know, Cody is showing all these things that happen at WrestleMania with Big Show, and it's a little embarrassing. And I mean, he is really, I gotta say this much, man. Like, if I were Big Show, I would be so, so pissed right now. I mean, they are bringing up stuff that I was surprised that they would even bother bringing up. And you know, Big Show actually lost to Kane on Raw because of Cody Rhodes. And Cody is causing, you know, he's awakening the beast, so to speak. So this match, this feud is actually getting interesting. This is how you should be doing a feud. And I think that some of the other feuds for WrestleMania could probably take note, you know, and maybe do things a little bit better.
Yeah, but they won't take note because just because. So I'm actually happy the way that they're doing this. I mean, they're setting up for Big Show to win, but you're almost setting up for him to lose as well, make Cody a bigger star. And Big Show is one of those team players. He just doesn't care.
Big and Show. I got to tell you, I cannot wait for our WrestleMania special next week, because I can't wait to hear who you think's going to win and why. And then, of course, friend of the show, Doug Hahn, is going to be on. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to hear what he thinks, because this is a match that I truly feel you can't just pick one or the other. You know, there are matches where you look at Taker, Triple H, most people are going to say Taker. But Rhodes and Big Show, I think, is a 50-50. Like, it's a toss-up, in my opinion.
I would say, I don't think they've decided who's going to win yet.
I could say one or the other, and I could give you a good reason why. Mm-hmm. And so I don't even have that one chosen yet. Out of the 8 matches so far advertised, I could tell you who I think is going to win and why for 7 of them. Mm-hmm. Right now. This is the one I can't. Yeah. Which is pretty good. Now, one of the other matches going on, Andy, is, of course, Sheamus and Daniel Bryan, the Royal Rumble 2012 winner, Sheamus, taking on World Heavyweight Champion Daniel Bryan. What are you thinking about this feud so far?
I'm actually digging this feud right now. The Daniel Bryan Sheamus stuff is awesome, dude. I'm really into it. But the thing with this is, they're just setting it up for Sheamus to fail every time, because he's not getting his hands on that little twerp or whatever. And I know what's going to happen. AJ is going to make it so he wins. That's what's going to happen. I mean, this is just, that's how I'm picturing it right now. Because I think Daniel Bryan, it's better for him to win than Sheamus to win. Because Sheamus can win or lose, it doesn't matter. But Daniel Bryan, I think it does right now. Because he's the heel. I mean, because it'll make him a stronger heel if he beats Sheamus. And
obviously, we'll go a little more in depth about why you think that Daniel Bryan would win. I, you know, the feud so far, I think, has been a little lackluster. And I think this is, you know, having the, you know, Royal Rumble winner on SmackDown, I think hurts, in my opinion. I think having him on Raw would be a bigger deal. Having them constantly bring up that fact would be a bigger deal. And more, I got to tell you, it really feels like SmackDown is the B or C show. It does not feel like it is the show that they are putting their entire weight behind. Feels like it's the catch-up show, and you know that they put some of the feuds on there. If you watch SmackDown this week, or if you had watched, or you only listened to this, take a look at see what happened. SmackDown this week was pretty lackluster. It left a lot to the imagination. It really did. I feel as though SmackDown, this feud is hurting because it's on SmackDown most of the time, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's not the wrestlers. I just think it's the publicity that they're putting out and the push that they're doing it. So, oh, well, Daniel Bryan's going to be another one that we end up forgetting about because the WWE doesn't know how to book. Anyway, so let's get on to Team Teddy and Team Johnny Ace. They were all on SmackDown. And we added a couple people, of course, Zack Ryder and the Great Khali.
Mm.
So that's pretty much it. I think this is going to draw, but, you know, whatever. It's going to be interesting how they book this. I'm really wondering how they're going to do it.
Well, they spent like, and then that's the thing with SmackDown, you know, you have Mark Henry, you know, squashing R-Truth, and you have matches back and forth between other people, Ryder taking on Swagger. And it feels like SmackDown they're using to elevate this feud when you could be talking more about Jericho Punk. You could be talking more about Sheamus and Bryan. You could be talking more about Rock and Cena or Triple H and Undertaker, you know, something like that. Instead, they're not. They're focusing all that on Raw, and SmackDown is the redheaded stepchild. So with that, Andy, let's move on to our sponsor.
It's HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and one-click script installs with a free site builder and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK and you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Victory Road! So, Austin Aries. Yeah.
A-double.
Double A. Arn Anderson.
A-dub. A-dub.
A-dub, we'll call him.
He's A-dub.
Not Arn Anderson, but Austin Aries just keeps winning. What a great match, by the way. He actually tweeted during the match, which I thought was pretty funny.
Let's talk about that for a second. Sweet leaping Jesus. Victory Road. Hashtag this. Hashtag this. Hashtag this. Tweet during the show. Instead of watching the program, leave, go to your computer, and instead, why don't you send us a message? That's what we want you to do. We don't want you to pay attention to this. And I got to say, I understand the interactive stuff, and it's kind of cool, but is this really necessary? The A-dub thing, that was funny. That was funny. See, but the rest of it, ugh.
See, here's the thing. WWE doesn't smart. They bring it up, and that's it. They don't have something in the background showing what people are saying about the pay-per-view because they could sit there and just put, you know, different things that can't be on TV usually if they really want to. But they pushed it way too hard. And when they said stuff was trending, it was trending for like a second. It wasn't trending. I mean, when the WWE does stuff, at least it trends for, you know, a minute at least. Their stuff trends for like a second and then it's over with. And they push the fact that it's trending.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. I mean, at some point, I think they push Twitter too hard, especially on the pay-per-view. It was so bad.
Yeah, it really was. Cause, and, you know, one of the other things that they talked about is D-Von, he beat Robbie E for the TV title.
Yes, I was surprised D-Von came back. I was actually wondering, hey, where's D-Von at? And I was going to bring that up, but apparently he's back now.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, is this going to help him out in his career?
I see the thing with D-Von is that he's a tag team guy, and I still say Bully Ray or Bubba Ray Dudley, same thing. They're tag team guys. They should stay a tag team. They should just go back to the WWE and say, okay, we want our name, blah, 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 and that's it. That's what they should do. What they're not going to do is they're going to wrestle as singles. No one's going to care. At least I don't. Yeah. I mean, great. D-Von's trying. He's a champion. Great. I'm happy.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I don't know who he's going to feud with, and I don't care for his feuds personally. I'll say this much. Bully Ray is at least watchable. So if D-Von happened to leave TNA, let's say, I could stand Bully, but I couldn't stand D-Von.
By the way,
can't stand D-Von by himself.
By the way, Bully Ray, I think the funniest thing is when he points out his calf muscle. That still makes me laugh every time. He's like, look at this calf muscle. You know, he points to it, dude.
I do it every morning in the gym. every morning when I go to the gym, just some random guy in a towel. I look at him and I go, dude, check out my calf muscles.
You go in the sauna, you're like, see this.
I'm like trending worldwide. And just like Robert Roode beating the Stinger.
Yeah.
In a interesting finish. You know, Robert Roode gets the Scorpion mm-hmm. Death Drop from Sting. Sting hits his head on the chair that Roode had set up, and Roode pins him. Yep. 1, 2, 3.
What a lame finish. And then the fact, all the stuff that happened afterwards, I could care less.
Well, it was kind of a big deal. They, you know, Dixie Carter was in the ring, and Roode was going to hit her and Sting and whatnot, and it kind of it put some tension in there, I think, which they of course talked about on Impact later that night or the following that week on Thursday. And that one of the things that happened was that Dixie Carter had said that, you know, she was thinking about firing him. She decided not to, and instead, you know, they're focusing on Lockdown, which is going to have Robert Roode take on James Storm, his former tag partner. Mm-hmm. And so this saga's continuing. Do you think having the 2-month buildup to this match that still hasn't happened yet, you know, it's a month out, do you think that's a smart thing to have that much buildup?
Yes, and I think they're not really doing this. I think they're doing it in a way that they could have done it better. I see what they're trying to do. You set up pay-per-views in the future, you know, match, but you have to deal with this match first, and then you have this match afterwards. I could see things that you could do, a lot of possibilities, but this is the one that I just don't, I mean, I was really happy about, but then I think I already know the ending of this match. I think James Storm is going to end up winning. He's going to beat Robert Roode, because I don't consider Robert Roode the face of the company still. I just don't, dude. I think that he's there, and that's it, and they try to do something with him, and I don't like him now.
Well, who's the face of the company then, would you say?
If I had to pick one guy, it's AJ Styles. He's the face of TNA. I could say.
Well, I mean, yeah, he is. He is TNA. He's not just the face of it. He is.
Yeah.
TNA.
Then you have Christopher Daniels. Same thing. I think both those guys, they should focus around them and not focus around. I mean, you could still do the James Storm stuff and Robert Roode, but I think that you're focusing on the wrong area. I think you should focus on AJ Styles. He entertains. People love him. The Robert Roode stuff is just getting to the point where it's like, who's writing this? Like one of those things. Like, is Vince Russo still writing?
And I'm actually going to disagree with you here.
All right.
I actually think that Robert Roode right now is the face of the company currently. I really do feel that. And the reason why is because he starts off every show and he ends every show. He is excellent on the mic. He is getting people to rally around him in hatred. And that's one of the things I got to say as a heel, you have to be able to do and do it well. You know, Jericho as a heel, great job. Punk as a heel, another great job. You know, also both do great as faces. Roode, great as a heel and great as a face. He has the charisma. He has the mic skills. And he's actually pretty good in the ring. He's not the greatest, but he's passable. He's better than, like, Cena, you know, which he's better than, you know, 90% of the WWE. Okay, let me say that much.
But the thing is, he's been marketed improperly, dude. They should be pushing him to be on other shows when he won the champion. If they're saying, this is your face, you need to put him on other stuff. You got to put him in the public.
Mm-hmm. He's not. And I agree. I agree with that.
That's the problem I have. I mean, if they would put him on where he'd be on, like, you know, Conan or something like that, you know, one of the lower tier shows, you know, Jimmy Fallon, put him on something like that, I see it. That's great. You need to have him promote the pay-per-view. The WWE does a great job of promoting John Cena. I mean, that's the reason why he's Hulk Hogan. He's the new Hulk Hogan, the next generation Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
TNA needs to do something like that. And if they're going to do with Roode, they need to continue. I mean, now they need him almost to turn face to a certain extent and then push him into the public more and more. They haven't. AJ Styles is a good one. He's a good interview. You could put him on any show and it'd be awesome. But they're not doing that.
He's got okay mic skills. Here's the thing.
He's very charismatic, dude. Very charismatic.
I would agree. His mic skills are passable. They're like Matt Hardy's, in my opinion.
Okay, all right.
Okay, but he is a monster in the ring. He is the, like, I will say this much. I think in the past 100 years, 200 years, I think he is the best all-around wrestler in the ring. All-around wrestler. He is the best technical, best, aerial, best brawler in the ring, mm-hmm. With all those three things. I'm not saying that he's the best at all three. He's best with all three, you know, like, and other ones too in there.
Right.
And so that's why he's allowed to get away with having okay mic skills, because other people, Matt Hardy, for example, who's good in the ring, his mic skills suck, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that this would be, you know, this obviously is a pretty big topic to discuss. But let's move along for now. It looks like Joe and Magnus are going to be getting some new opponents. They faced off against Mexican America this week.
That is correct.
What do you think of them finally getting some new opponents?
It's nice. I think they'll probably wrestle them for a few months, and then it'll probably be time after that to drop the titles. But it's nice, Samoa Joe, he's a hoss. It's great. He's kind of, tag team. I always say when you're tag teaming, when you come from singles to tag teaming, or makeshift tag team, you're kind of getting a break because you don't have to wrestle as hard. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's more of a lighter thing, and it's kind of nice for him to get this now because I see a big push for him coming up, later in the company. I would love to see him versus Robert Roode. I mean, just have him annihilate Roode. I mean, just beat the crap out of him. That would be awesome to me. That's how I'd book it. But yeah, I'm glad to see that they got new opponents. So, and then what happened at the end of the show? The Hulkster came back. Hulk Hogan is back. He is back and better than ever, if you want to say that.
Yeah, because no one's seen his tape yet. But when they do, he's not going to be back and better than ever. No, Sting at the beginning of the show had said to Dixie Carter that he thinks that Hogan should be running the company. And obviously Dixie is kind of, well, we were going to do that. And then remember, he tried to steal the company from me. Mm-hmm. And if we all remember that storyline, it was pretty terrible.
Yes, it was.
So honestly, I think Hogan, the best thing they could do for him, the absolute best thing they could do, pair him up with an up-and-coming face and have him be that mouthpiece. You know what Ric Flair helped do with AJ Styles and make him even more hated when they had that heel run as Fortune? Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, AJ Styles did not need Ric Flair, but having Ric Flair there gave you more notoriety. It made people hate you even more. And so that was smart to do. Mm-hmm. If you pair Hogan with somebody who is an up-and-comer who is not named Garrett Bischoff, then I think you could have a recipe for success. But it has to be a face if he is a face. You know what? Break up Samoa Joe and Magnus. I know that this is weird to say, but break them up. Have Samoa Joe go for the title. Have him pair with Magnus. Because Magnus, he's charismatic. But if you have Hogan behind you, oh my God, that's going to help you out a lot.
I know. That's great. Great idea. So let's move on to our weekly topic. We're going to book WrestleMania 28. That's right. We are booking it because that's how we roll. So, Aaron.
We're going to do the match order.
I'm sorry. Yes.
And so, we're not going to say who we think is going to win, but this is how WWE, how we think that they should do it, how they should have the matches set up. So, in my opinion, starting it off, you have Kane versus Orton.
Oh, come on. No.
And no. Here, let me go through mine first.
All right. You do yours first.
All right. So, you have a ton of singles matches. You have to start off with the singles match. So, you either – this is my opinion. You either have Kane and Orton or the other one. And I'm going to redo it. You actually start off with Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus for the World Heavyweight Championship. Mm-hmm. After that match, you're going to have Kane versus Randy Orton. After that one, you are going to do Team Teddy versus Team Johnny. And the reason why is because you had two singles matches. You're going to have this one, and then you're going to have Cody Rhodes taking on Big Show. After that match, you're going to have Triple H versus Taker and Hell in a Cell. The reason I say this is because Triple H and Taker are going to be the midpoint main event. And so this is going to take time to get this down and get this back up. And if you have that match end, you're going to have time to, because you're going to have all these vignettes to show with Triple H and HBK and Taker. So you're going to have plenty of time to put it up. Now, after that match, you will have CM Punk take on Chris Jericho. And the reason that match is next is because you're going to have a lot of time to show those vignettes so you can tear down the cage. And then they're going to come out. They're going to have their match. Afterwards, you will have Maria Menounos and Kelly Kelly take on Beth Phoenix and Eve Torres. Why? Because they always have a crappy match. They always have a crappy match in between the two main events. You know, so you have a great match, you have the crappy match, and then you have the other match. Obviously, ending with Rock versus Cena. That one, guaranteeing you, will be the final match.
Okay. So that's what you got?
That is, and those are the reasons why I believe that's going to be the match order. So, Andy, let's hear from you.
Okay, here's the match order. CM Punk versus Chris Jericho will open it.
And you think that the WWE title is going to be the first match?
Yes, and then Team Teddy and Team Ace, that'll be the next one. Then we'll have Orton and Kane. Then we will have Cody Rhodes versus Big Show. Then we'll have the women's match that no one cares about. Then we'll have Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. Triple H versus Undertaker. And then The Rock and Cena will be the final match.
Okay. Why do you believe that the WWE title, the most prestigious title in all of sports entertainment, is going to open WrestleMania?
Because what else? Why would you lead with Cody Rhodes? Why would you lead with, you know, in all seriousness, what I wish they'd do? I wish they'd lead with Triple H versus Undertaker. That's what I wish they would do. But this is what I think they're going to end up doing. And the women's match, you know, it might be in between Triple H versus Undertaker, you know, just because. But I think it has to be early enough where people will talk about it, like in LA and stuff. So I think that's why it's going to be that way. But yeah, the whole thing with CM Punk, Chris Jericho, they're going to open and steal the show, and then everyone's going to be ticked at them, you know, the guys who can't wrestle properly. So that's what I think is going to happen.
That's why I say that I don't believe that they're going to open the show. That's why I think that they will be third to last, why Triple H and Taker will be before them, because they know that they are going to upstage them. They know that they will.
Of course. I mean, that's...
I'm incredibly surprised to hear you say that they are going to do that, that they would have Punk and Jericho, the WWE title, which ends 90% of WrestleManias. 90% of WrestleManias end in the WWE title match, and you believe that it will open?
Yes, I am positive it's going to open, dude.
Okay, what would you bet me?
We'll have to think about that. We'll talk about that later. We'll think of something to bet. But when it opens, I got something as well. We'll do something. We'll do something, all right? We'll leave it at that, all right?
Okay, how about this? If it does not open the pay-per-view, you have to say, Aaron, you know everything there is to know about wrestling, and everything I say is wrong.
All right, I'll say that. But remember, you have to say the same thing about me.
I will say, Aaron, everything you know about wrestling is right. That's what you want me to say?
No.
All right.
We'll get something. We'll talk about it next week. And don't forget, everyone, the WrestleMania, the special, we're going to try and have it out no later than Thursday morning. Maybe even Wednesday. Just depends. We'll find out here. We'll tweet it out. So if you guys want to check it out. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.